Hello, everyone. My name is Keletse Lehlokwe. I'm part of the STANLIB Institutional Distribution Team, and welcome to the STANLIB Quarterly Podcast. Today, we are joined by Marius Oberholzer. He's the head of multi-asset, and he will be taking us through the different parts of the funds, sort of what the fund has done or the funds have done over the past quarter, how they're looking at the markets, where they're seeing the risks, and where they're seeing the opportunities. Welcome, Marius. Looking forward to a good conversation.
Hi, Kelechi. Hope you're well.
I think it's been a busy quarter. A lot has gone on, a busy year. I mean, we're in July almost. I think maybe where we wanted to start the conversation is really just your main reflections on the second quarter of 2024, I suppose things that stood out for you, how the funds did, what you were happy with, what surprised you.
Well, I think let's start off with the environment and the asset environment. And I think the thing that was really surprising through the quarter remains, I think, across the industry, we'll all be saying it, is the resilience of the United States stock market and the concentration of returns, which remains very much focused in that technology sector. And then more importantly, in the Magnificent Seven. And then if you drill down even further into NVIDIA, which continues to highlight what a major secular theme is developing within the AI space. I guess from an equity perspective, I think what's slightly disappointing is just not seeing the broadening out of the rally into other sectors, although there is indications that that may begin to take place. But certainly across the rest of the world, we've still got emerging markets lagging somewhat, Europe struggling, and towards the back end of the quarter, we obviously had some concerns around the European geopolitical situation with the French elections being called. But that maybe took a little bit of gloss off the European side. But I think the theme would still be that the United States continues to be the best place to be deployed on a backward-looking basis, of course. And the returns continue to really be eye-watering on an equity level. Within the South African environment, obviously, we were all across the industry and as across the country, we were all very, very focused on the elections that took place at the end of May and the subsequent negotiations around the government of national unity. And we'd war roomed this really from March as a group of investors within the wider STANLIB cohort and had come up with some game plans as to how we play that. Which we can chat about a little bit later, but really a really interesting quarter. Asset markets held up well, equities outperforming bonds, South African assets doing really well, driven home in the final month of the quarter, given the resilience of the rand and the outcomes from the elections that powered fixed income specifically to doing a little better than equities. But overall, I think a fairly fertile return environment. The funds did reasonably well. We generated in the growth fund just shy of 4%, and in the multi-asset cautious fund 4.25%. Those are gross of fees. And I think the difference there between a high equity multi-asset fund and a low equity multi-asset fund is highlighted by the strength in those South African fixed income assets that outperformed equities in the shorter run. But overall, really fertile environment for markets. Not without risk, though. A really tricky time to be navigating, which is always the case.
I think that's an important point. And I think congratulations to you and the team for being able to navigate a tricky market and a tricky time and do it so well as well. I think looking forward, choppy waters are still expected. We've still got a number of big idiosyncratic events happening across the globe. And obviously, there's always things that happen in between. Just in terms of the next couple of months, I mean, what are you looking for? What are you keeping your eye on? What do you think will drive markets as we go into the rest of the year?
Well, I mean, I wish I knew what to drive markets, because I think we're all getting caught offside on from time to time. I still think from a risk perspective, the major risks that we sit with remain the geopolitical situation. I mentioned the European situation and the snap elections in France, but, even just the European elections in terms of a broad swing to the right. that seems to be taking place around the world. I think that's been, for a period of time, that's been the case. But a little bit more of extreme sentiment developing in that geopolitical arena around the world, how that plays out remains to be seen. But that would lead us into the natural situation around the elections in the United States towards the end of the year. Our South African elections now behind us. But that doesn't mean that the government of national unity has a perfect framework within which to operate. And investors are going to be watching that area closely to give them confidence. If we then just going back to the US situation, you know, the Biden Trump presidential campaigns will be in full swing and are in full swing now. And as we head into November, we're going to get continued rhetoric, not so much around the candidates themselves, but really the policies that they're going to run on. And the Trump policies will be a little bit more developed than they were in the last campaign or two campaigns that he ran. But we think that the fiscal pump priming and the fiscal deficits will remain a center for the markets to focus on. And at the same time, it's not so much what their policies are, but the response to their policies. And we saw that with Trump specifically in the last election, where his policies and his rhetoric around trade wars and around NATO, etc., did lead to some seismic shifts in markets and in asset market opportunities. So I think it's important that we watch that. The next component would be obviously the softening inflation data that seems to be coming through. And from our head of economics, our chief economist, Mr. Lings, continues to point to a confidence that the data will soften, although be relatively sticky. But what's on people's minds is really the Fed cutting rates and can the South African Reserve Bank follow. We've already seen moves from, the ECB in cutting rates. We've seen the Canadians cut rates a little bit more up and down in terms of the guidance from places like Australia and New Zealand. But broadly speaking, peaks are in rates. And now it's a question of, will those cuts come through that the market has begun pricing for? Certainly in the equity markets, we would suspect. And can growth remain resilient? And our view is that growth is okay. Not without a couple of concerns here and there, but we're really watching the US consumer very, very closely for signs of slowing and in the labor markets that will make our constructive view become maybe less constructive. But for the moment, we continue to think that the opportunity set is fertile at a tactical level.
No, that's good to hear. And I think you bring up obviously US interest rates and the Fed's position, all that. Maybe just to double click on that, given how important a theme it has been over the past year or even longer in markets. As you mentioned, other central banks across the world have been cutting rates despite the US not cutting. I know from a local point of view, there's always been the narrative that we would have to wait until they do. But given sort of the expectations going forward, do you think it's still as important for the US to start cutting? Will it make as much of a difference in terms of global markets?
Hell, I don't think so. And I think, I think we may be wrong on that. But I think the signal that we got, which was really at the back end of last year, that the peak in the cycle was in, that is a more important component than the cuts themselves. And I think you're starting to see it in mergers and acquisitions, in buyouts, in the deployment of capital around the world. Investors or allocators of real capital into the economy and into assets themselves, I think, are beginning to deploy. And I think that's the big signal around the peak in rates. The cut themselves, I don't think, is too much of a big deal, although clearly consumers will feel much better given the tight real rates that exist in South Africa, in the United States, etc. But financial conditions really loosen in the US. So I don't think that monetary policy in the US is going to make too much difference. I do think it's much more of a confidence dynamic, and markets run on confidence. And I think we'll continue to see that confidence materialize and hopefully broaden out, as I mentioned. Our colleagues at JP Morgan, where we manage a portion of our offshore exposure, are very constructive on the growth environment, where they think specifically the United States will be able to extend the cycle. And interestingly, Gareth and Joe, who put the portfolio managers in that team, are really talking to us around a shift from late cycle indicators to more mid-cycle indicators, which again speaks to the unusualness of this cycle. But they're feeling really constructive around the world, less so on China. I think that remains a concern for all investors. But ultimately, they do think that the cycle continues to extend. So we shall see, but I think it's the confidence around the peak in rates that really highlights the opportunity from a growth perspective. The earnings remain really good and credit markets are really well behaved. And the really early warning sign from an equity credit perspective, from my perspective, which are dividend and dividend forecasts, remain very resilient. So overall, we think the growth dynamic is pretty robust, but certainly we're not sleeping that well, but that's always the case.
That's positive to hear. And I think that certainty or understanding of sort of where we are in a global context also assists when you're looking at the local dynamic, the local environment and different asset classes. I think I wouldn't be remiss to say that the aftermath of sort of the GNU and our elections and sort of where things have fallen has been quite positive in terms of the impact or the reaction of markets. I just wanted to get a feel for you in terms of your expectations, asset classes across local markets. And then potentially as well, we have a lot of conversations with clients around the optimal split between offshore and local. Out of interest, do you think that that split has changed based on what you've seen so far, or would you still have a significant exposure or leaning towards offshore assets going forward?
Yeah, so let's start with that big offshore onshore conversation, Kelechi. We've long said that the offshore exposure that you're taking is really a view on the rand historically. So you needed to be very tactical on the rand because ultimately you're inheriting rand volatility as you move assets offshore. But we do think that if you move assets offshore and you think about currency hedging strategically, or you think about currency hedging from time to time, it changes the profile. So we do believe that you must have a reasonably significant amount of your exposure in total portfolio level offshore. Now, what should the right number be? There are various schools of thought, but we think broadly the industry is sitting in a high equity world at around sort of, to call it between 35 and 40% from an optimal perspective. And there are a number of third-party information providers and I would say experts that have got that number, which would correlate and correspond to our own work as well, depending on how much hedging you want to do. Now, I think the important component relative to 3, 4, 5 years ago, what that means for a portfolio manager and a portfolio management team is that, you know, that 35 to 40% exposure would indicate that we have the ability now as South African investors to finally overweight offshore significantly underweight offshore, whereas previously, we were always trying to maximize the allocation. So I think that's a shift. What that means is it's a much more difficult environment to really think that all multi-asset managers are going to deliver you similar returns. We think that the return streams will be very different at points in time. So that's the first thing from an investor's perspective to keep in mind. So we would suggest kind of 38% would be natural where we would typically be and tactically trade around that positioning. For the moment, we are slightly skewed offshore, and that is really just at the end of the quarter, the rand was pretty strong, right? So trading around 18 at a spot level to the United States dollar, we felt that was a fair amount of rand strength reflected in the currency already. And what we think is going to happen is that there'll be a lot of currency hedging from the offshore guys as they buy our fixed income market. And as a result, they'll be selling rands to buy dollars and hedging their fixed income component through that kind of mix, which means that we think the rand strength will be largely limited from here. We may be very wrong. And I think if we get very positive breadcrumbs from actions within the government of national unity, we will get improved confidence and the rand could go a little stronger. So we need to be mindful that rand strength could materialize, but we don't think it will be as strong as what we'll get in the bond market and equity markets. Then for the first time in a long time, the team and I have turned tactically positive on South Africa. We were running a reasonable amount of equity and fixed income in SA, probably since early April, where we started marginally overweighting SA assets relative to SA cash. And we've continued to express that view post the announcement of the government of national unity. In our minds, we had five scenarios going into the election, and I talked about that at our a webinar that we did, I think, in early June. We talked about those scenarios, but that even the better scenario from a market's perspective was the limitation or the unwillingness of the MK party and the EFF to really join that government of national unity, which took the left-hand side, the downside risk from a market's perspective, away slightly. So I think we're in a much better outcome, much better than we thought at the time. And we did think that there'd be upside in markets, which is materializing, but it will take a little bit of time to really get the South African Inc. stocks, so to speak, to do well. The banks have done well, but we expect that to continue. We're seeing big earnings upgrades coming through in equities. We're seeing a lot of asset allocation experts on the sell side talking about SA being an opportunity, and we would concur. Economic growth is picking up. Valuations have been really juicy for some time, but a value trap. And we think that this situation now unlocks some of that value trap. Sentiment is completely blown out. And we think that the momentum is picking up both at price levels and at earnings levels. So playing to our sort of process of looking at markets through economic valuation, momentum, liquidity, sentiment, and volatility perspective, we think things are lining up really positively for SA. And so from a process perspective, it's forcing us to take more exposure to SA equities and SA bonds relative to SA cash than we have for some time. Although at the margin, we slightly overweight offshore, just at the margin, given that we think the currency strength is probably done for now.
No, thanks for that, Maurice. I think a lot on the go. I'm happy to hear that at least, I mean, that you and the team have your eyes on all of these different balls. And I think it sounds to me as if, you know, there's opportunities in the market that will be there to take advantage of them as and when they arise, but obviously not to take our eyes off the ball as well, given that there's still significant events to come. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate you coming on and really just helping us understand a little better how the funds have been performing and how you're looking at things going forward. I think obviously this is the first of many conversations that we'll be having, and also to all our clients, if you have any questions for myself or Marius or anyone, please feel free to get in touch with your Stanlib representative or in touch with us directly. Always happy to have further conversations. But for this podcast, I'd like to say thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights, Marius. And all the best with the markets going forward.
Thanks, Mr. Kelechi.